on air, WICC 600. Online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
Back to the show, 203-333-9422 is our number. This is your opportunity to be part of the conversation. We have a weekly conversation with Wayne Winston every single week, and we talk about what's happening in our community, and we try and create and continue a dialogue among the two of us and among you as well, people that came from different backgrounds, of different colors, but all in our community, and frankly, all of us rowing towards the same place in the pond, which is to say a place of freedom and equity and respect for each other and respect for where we come from and where we came from. So, Wayne, welcome back to the show today. Hello and good morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad people got power coming back on, Lisa.
Yeah.
So.
Oi. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough week. And not everybody still has it. And, you know, the lingering not having your Wi-Fi service, your television, it really is. It's more than a luxury for people. It's a lifeline, and it's a way to work.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, I was on earlier, and the attacks, if you haven't heard, it's under a rock, that Kamala Harris being picked as Joe Biden's running mate, the huge thing. And there's already things going on, hey, she's not really black, and this whole crazy nonsense started.
Okay, I want to hear that. Stop right there. What do you mean, hey, she's not really black? What does that mean?
Boy, this might be a loaded question. No, that's what we're here for.
Right.
How much we're alike and we're different. What happens in our community, when people want to find a reason not to be supportive, they will use whatever is necessary because there's two sides to it. From the black community, even President Obama, in the very beginning, so it says, well, he's not really black, you know, he's half white. And it's like, well, since the beginning, as far as we've been keeping track of things in America, if you're black, you're black. You know, back to, you know, if you have one drop of black blood, you know, it's genetics. But when you have people that are looking for reasons not to support, if that's all you got, that's what you're going to move towards. On the other side, the people who aren't interested in seeing a community that is united, a community that says you can marry whatever race you want, mm-hmm. they turn that into a type of a wedge to say this is why you don't need to vote for that candidate because he's not really black anyway. So if you want to vote for him, you're not really voting for a black person. And then there's the negative side, that's the racist side. It just says you don't need to vote for that person anyway because they're black. So it gets kind of multifaceted, and based upon where you are, it started already. I think we're going to see a lot more of that from the Republican side because it's been effective in the past in different parts of the world. And I think, Lisa, that in some of the listeners, we're in pretty much a state where we see people of color a lot more. Even if you just go into town, some of these states, there's very few black Americans or black people, period, or brown people in their circles. So it's hard to know someone if they're not around you. So that's how that rhetoric gets planted and all the stereotypes come in.
So this is interesting. We're chatting with Wayne Winston, 203-333-9422. The only thing that I would say, I'm listening carefully to what you're saying, is I think what I'm hearing is that she's getting attacked from the right and the left. That's what it is. The left doesn't like her because she's not quote unquote black enough, but really, it's not about being black or white. It's the fact that she was a prosecutor. She put black people away in jail. They don't like it. And she's an establishment centrist candidate. They don't like that because they really want to topple a lot of the establishment altogether. And she's not going to do that. She's not a radical. And Joe Biden's not a radical. So the Democratic Party is not radical enough for some people in the Democratic Party.
That's absolutely correct. And the problem is, you know, we have a president who's just tossing everything out for his own personal reason. And it's obviously to get elected. So it doesn't matter how many people pass away. It's getting better, you know, telling you to shoot crazy cleaners in your body. I mean, if it wasn't as it is in this country, we would have had a coup having a president saying that kind of stuff. However, this is where we are right now. Social media plays a huge impact in like never before seen ways, even back when Clinton ran, because now you can put your thoughts out there. And if there's five crazy people, those other five on the other part of the world find it, and or for the United States, and before you know it, you've got tens of thousands of people saying the same crazy thing. And for Kamala, yeah, some people want someone super radical. Mm-hmm. But there's people, and honestly, I was leaning, figured he'd take Susan Rice, very qualified administrator.
You thought he would, but no way. I called this from the beginning, Wayne, and if he had picked anyone else, I would have been stunned and I would have had to eat a lot of crow at home. Because Kamala Harris is the most tried of all of the people that were considered contenders. Once Joe Biden said he was going to pick a woman, well, that left mm-hmm. that left half the people off the ticket, right? He couldn't pick a Pete Buttigieg or, you know, anybody else who came to national prominence. And then he had to thank South Carolina and the black community that propelled him mm-hmm. from a negligible showing in Iowa and New Hampshire to all of a sudden the front runner out of South Carolina. That was all due to the black community. That wasn't the white community that voted him in. That was James Van Cliburn and the power mm-hmm. and a lot of black women in particular that said, yeah. We don't want the radicals of the Democratic Party. We want to win, and we're going to go with the center, and we're going to go with Joe Biden. So when they, yeah. I mean, he had to thank them. So as far as I was concerned, he had to put, once he said he was going to pick a woman, he had to pick a woman of color, in my opinion. And yeah. she's won an election of 40 million people in California. She won. So why wouldn't he pick her? Susan Rice has never won an election. She tentatively put two toes in the water to run for Senate in Maine and then backed out. I mean, she's a policy wonk. Maybe she's a cabinet member, but she's not somebody on a national ticket. Even, look, President Trump picked Mike Pence. Mike Pence was mm-hmm. the governor of Indiana. He had won an election. Mm-hmm. He showed that he could get votes. You don't pick somebody for VP, in my opinion, who can't get votes. Even though California is a shoo-in for the Democrats, I still think it showed her power as a professional politician. I thought it was a no-brainer, frankly. A no-brainer. And people were pushing him away from her because there is a very strong radical wing now, Wayne, in the Democratic Party. There is a shove to the left. And I personally am happy that Joe Biden resisted that shove. Personally, as an American, I'm happy.
Well, I'll tell you, I do like Kamala. So I had like three, and, you know, Kamala was there as well. She reminds me of the strategy, I think, and we'll see how this plays out, with Kennedy when he picked Johnson, you know, over in Texas. You know, he needed Texas. And once he got elected, he basically put him out the pasture, more or less, you know. Same thing Obama with Hillary. You know, once you get going, it has to be about your administration. So I think Kamala is a great choice. You know, they have some great qualified women. So I think it'll work well for him because in the end, as I weighed the two, I was just sharing the other person I was looking at because policy-wise and so on, she could do well. But what they need is a fire. You need someone who can ignite, someone that people can reach. And I think Kamala reaches across all the communities. And I think that'll be good because we need that. Especially with what's going on now in the White House. And people forget that when Donald Trump was elected, he brought in one of the most radical right-wing guys that there were in Steve Bannon, who literally had a Nazi website in a history of promoting crazy racist things. And it was just quiet when it went in. You know, it was like, okay, so what are we going to do? That's the main guy. That's his direction. And he elected a Supreme Court. A lot of judges have been changed in our communities. It's going to take years to filter through that stuff. Who had the same thoughts as Steve Bannon. Now, eventually it didn't work out because with Donald, if he's not the center of the attention, you're fired. And that's the history of all of his cabinet. So we have a very important time right now in this country, whereas we're going to pick a person who wants to represent everyone, who believes everyone deserves a chance and an opportunity to partake in this American dream which is what this whole thing really has been about in the struggle for Black Americans, just to be equal, not to have more, not to have less, but give me the same opportunity. So this is wonderful for Kamala. I'm very excited for her. And
do you know her? We're chatting with Wayne Winston, 203-333-9422. And we're talking about Biden's pick of Kamala Harris, if you want to comment on that. Do you, and how historic it is that a Black woman is going to be a major presidential, it's going to be on the presidential ballot for a major ticket for one of the major political parties, first time ever, making history. And also, it must be said that it is unlikely that Joe Biden, if he wins, will run for a second term. He'll frankly be too old. I'm not talking about doddering or incapable. I'm just talking about the age. He'll be 80. So it is unlikely that he'll run again. He's running as a reset president. I think he's running as a one term. And therefore, people will turn to Kamala Harris if this team wins in November, and they will turn to her as the likely Democratic nominee. She may become the first woman president in this country. So it's a historic day altogether. Wayne Winston, do you know her? Have you ever met her? Have you ever seen her speak in person?
I have seen her speak, but I have not met her. Okay. She's fire, wherever you see her. So one of the issues that the Black community, which you mentioned earlier, as a prosecutor out there, you know, you're going to send people to jail and you're sometime on the wrong side of, you know, whatever are the policies of the city that you're in, and some you're going to carry out. And that's kind of like where that hanging point was. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought you wouldn't get chosen just for going after Joe about being the child who was the Black child. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do enough. But with politics, once that's done, you have to put those things aside because you're on the same team now to move forward to win the election. So I'm saying that people have to consider that, too, because I've heard people talking about that, too. Well, he said this, well, she said that. But that's how it goes when you run against office. You have to point out your opponent's weaknesses, or you just very well may win. You know, it's not always the best person wins. Sometimes it could be the person with the best campaign and with the 100%. Best information.
Of course. We're chatting with Wayne Winston. Wayne, stick around. We're going to have to go to some messages from our sponsors. We'll be right back. The Lisa Wexler Show, chatting with Wayne Winston on race at 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.
If it's happening today, we're talking about it now. Join us, 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
On the air with Wayne Winston, our weekly conversation about race. Today, national headlines. That yesterday Joe Biden chose Kamala Harris to be his VP, a Black woman, a woman of Indian maternal descent, Jamaican paternal descent, made her way, brilliant student, made her way to become the Attorney General of the state of California, threw her hat in the ring unsuccessfully, but definitely made a strong impression and a good showing and ultimately formed a friendship with Joe Biden. Let's go to Pat in the car. Pat, you're on the air with Wayne Winston and myself. Hello and good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. So what do you think of the choice of Kamala Harris?
I think, well, I thought it was very interesting what Wayne was saying about different areas of the country not having people of color or whatever, because I'm in Connecticut. And I find it totally unbelievable that it matters what color a person is rather than how good qualified they are. But then again, I live here, so I don't know, you know, I guess with what's going on in the world today, I shouldn't be surprised, but I just don't think we're as racist as everybody likes to say the world is.
Well, that's encouraging, Pat. I take you at your word that this is your philosophy of life. I will tell you, I think in some ways we've become more focused on our racist grouping than we ever used to be. It's not to say that the world has become less or more racist, but we're so focused on our demographic. We're so focused on what boxes we come from. And that to some extent is driven by public policy, by preferential treatment for some people who can check a box that they're quite literally in a minority class, or they're an American Samoan, or they're a Native American, or they're Hawaiian American, or they're Inuit, or they're Hispanic or Black or whatever. Wayne, right. You want to contribute? You have a comment on this?
Yeah, you know, Pat, you're one of the people that make the world a better place. You know, but the hard part is that we use race all the time, and we don't even really think about it. They pick juries based upon gender, male, female, in race, mm-hmm. What a black person's experience is versus a white person, versus a housewife, versus a business professional. They figure how they're going to, when they make, shoot a movie, okay, a cast, I mean, whether it'll be black or white, or what audience is this going through. And historically, black films have a very difficult time getting financed. You know, and so the more that we know about each other, see, the better off that we are. And you still have people that have those old school beliefs that black people and white people shouldn't be married or having relationships. And we see that all the time on television, on media, all the time. It's like, you know, you got the KKK and all of these crazy guys out there saying, hey, just leave us alone because we like things the way that they were. And we don't want you in our community. And those are tragic things that we're still fighting to this day. So I know what side, Pat, you're going to wind up on. So just share that with your other friends, because there are people, even in Connecticut, that still have an issue with having a black person or brown person come into their family and have a meaningful relationship, or won't vote for them just because of their color.
Thank you. And
yeah,
I
don't know. I've the philosophy. I mean, nobody's born that way. You know, you learn, and we have to start educating everybody, because it's crazy.
It certainly is.
It's just not right. We're all human beings.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for the call. I do want to say this, Wayne, before we have to wrap up, I really want to tell people speaking about this. So Kamala Harris is the product of an interracial marriage, and she has an interracial marriage. Is that now she's married to a guy named Douglas Emhoff, who is a Jewish guy, another lawyer born in Brooklyn, of all places. So she checks the box of being the first Asian American to run for vice president because her mother was Indian, the first black woman. She's also married to a Jewish guy, so it's an interracial marriage. Is her diversity of background and the fact that she's married to a white Jewish guy, is that going to cause some people to be rubbed the wrong way in your community, Wayne?
No question. In fact, I've heard it a couple times already. I go like, calm down, wait a minute, we've been here already. Love has no color. I mean, do we really have to have that? Because on both sides, I mean, like, we have our own idiosyncrasies. We're human, and we're often interested in promoting black families and so on. But love is love, and it does have a bearing. And I want to say we left out the HBCUs, historic black colleges are so important to our communities. So even coming from that funding, you want to change something. So start supporting a historic black communities. I mean, these large corporations or small ones, they struggle to stay afloat, and they do an amazing job educating black students and giving them opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise. And I mean ones that are qualified, not ones that are not qualified, because nobody gets into college when you're not qualified.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Well, this guy, Douglas Emhoff, is an interesting guy. He's a partner at DLA Piper Law Firm, a gigantic law firm. He specializes in
law firm.
Entertainment and property law. We'll get to know him, too. Maybe he'll come on the show. Wayne Winston, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us every week. Thanks for your insight and your honesty and candor. And we'll have you back on the show ASAP. Wayne Winston on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be back behind the mic tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Paul Pacelli up at 2:00.